Hello, I've been pondering this question. How can one admire a God who refused to disclose the fullness of truth and salvation until the very last fragment of time? I'll explain what I mean by this. In Christianity, for Christianity, in terms of the parousia, that's the technical term some people use for the second coming of Jesus. For Christianity, there have been too many years of grace. In terms of salvation history, there have not been enough. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus, the Jesus of the four Gospels in the New Testament, seems to expect the imminent end times. So, in Mark's Gospel, for example, in chapter 13, verse 30, it reads, and this is about the destruction of the temple. The whole chapter is about the signs of the end, the destruction of the temple, and the return of the Son of Man who comes in glory and great power. And then after this, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, this generation," the generation of people then living, "will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So the precise timing is unknown, but this generation, truly, I tell you, will not pass away until the second coming occurs. And that's imminence, what imminence means. And just to back up this reading, here is a huge copy of the Oxford Bible Commentary. Published by Oxford University Press. It's one of the standard reference works for academics and students of the New Testament and the whole Bible. And if you look up the passage I've just read in here, it says, I'll just quote one sentence, "The end will come within the lifetime of the present generation." It's just interpreting that. So the end will come, the end of the world, the second coming will come within the lifetime of the present generation, meaning the generation, of course, of those living at that time. And it's not just the Jesus of the Gospels who speaks this way. Paul, the Apostle Paul, predicts the second coming, the parousia, in his lifetime as well. And if we look at the Bible again, to a passage in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. In fact, I'll read back to verse 13. But we do not want you. So he's writing to the Thessalonians, as a small group of Gentile Christians in Thessalonica, in what we call Greece today. And he writes to them, saying, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. We who are alive, who are left until the coming of Jesus, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So we who are alive, so we who are left alive, so no need to grieve, even those who have predeceased them. When the second coming occurs, we will all be raised from the dead, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So, but clearly there's an expectation there that he will be alive at the second coming. That will happen in his generation. And the following chapter, verse chapter 5, verse 2:11, also says the same thing. But the wait has been extended for almost 2,000 years, or over 2,000 years now. So, as I said, for Christianity, in terms of the parousia, there have been too many years of grace, because it should have happened the end already. But in terms of salvation history, there have not been enough years. Now, if humans appeared, as we are told by the most recent science, and I just checked this out, if we humans appeared about 200,000 years ago, how can one admire a God who refused to disclose the fullness of truth and salvation until the very last fragment of time, i.e., 2,000 years ago? I mean, it's much less than 1% of recorded human history. I'm reminded of a Christmas poem by Thomas Hardy, the great English poet, who wrote, he lived during the First World War, survived it, and after the First World War, he wrote, at Christmas time, "Peace upon earth," was said. "We sing it and pay a million priests to bring it. After 2,000 years of mass, we've got as far as poison gas." So, we've had this salvation for 2,000 years, and we're still gassing each other on an industrial scale. So 2 millennia, it does not seem to be enough. If we've been around for over 200,000 years, why did God leave this fullness of truth and salvation that they claim until the very last millisecond? That is something that we don't, there's not been enough time. We should have been extended backwards to 200,000 years. Interestingly, in the Quran, we read, "We have surely sent you," presumably Muhammad, "with the truth as a deliverer of good news and a warner. There is no community that has not had a warner." And that's the 35th chapter, verse 24. And there's a footnote in this translation. According to a prophetic narration, the total number of prophets sent around the world from Adam to Muhammad is 124,000, of which only 25 are mentioned in the Quran. So that's fascinating. It seems by accident design that that particular understanding of salvation can encompass what we now know from science to be the true age of humans, humanity having been around for just under 250,000 years. And Christianity expected, in terms of its foundation documents, the world to end pretty much within a few years and had no concept of a deep time before that. So that's what I was thinking. I don't know what you think, but so time matters at the end of the day.